I should have been in bed, sleeping like the rest of the country, not on an ice-cold rock on a clifftop before the dawn of New Year's Day. But as my eyes opened in the darkness of a winter night, I'd felt the same agitation that had been keeping me awake for months. Heard the same sounds whispering in my head, and I'd had to go. Through the enclosed, narrow streets of Polruan, where curtains were drawn and quietness had settled. All the revellers, fireworks and noise of the night before had disappeared. A dark stillness had returned, broken only by pools of streetlight and a sense of the river moving, wide and deep near its mouth, but heaving inland with the force of the tide, the surface shattering into a thousand reflected lights. Only one boat was moored in a fast-running current, its bows straining on the anchor chain, its stern drifting in a rhythmic fishtail motion. I walked beyond the last of the houses and out onto the open field. I didn't need a torch. I'd come to know this route so well that even in the gloom, my feet found their way to a foot-wide strip of worn earth that winds its way through gorse and rock, up steep hewn steps where the land falls away to the sea, breaking against the deep blackness of the cliff below. Then beneath the arched, wind-shaped hawthorn, bent and contorted as it shadows the shape of the land, up rough, broken ground, my feet barely visible, through the gate to where the land flattens and the wind rises. I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. I could feel the pull of the coast in both directions, and as I stretched my arms wide and blended into the unseen, craggy, well-known shapes, my exhaled breath became the wind, as did I. In a field just back from the coast path, I found my way to a small rocky outcrop surrounded by an arc of gorse bushes, where the sheep had worn away the grass as they pushed themselves in to shelter from the weather. A place to stop and sit. The agitation in my body began to fade and I let go, slipping beneath the wave of exhaustion. The darkness was dense and impenetrable, but the air hissed through the gorse above my head, carrying the acidic scent of the needled leaves. As the weight of the sea on the cliff below boomed through the earth in a steady, rhythmic vibration, I curled in a ball, the hood of my coat pulled over my hat, gloved hands under my armpits, and my thoughts finally moved outside my head, dissipating in the wild black air. No voice in my head, only silence. I couldn't think anymore, only feel, and I gave in to sleep, a deep, brief, total oblivion. A slight wash of light broke the darkness, bringing me back into my aching, cramped body. But I didn't move. I stayed curled tight, my body wrapped, hanging on to a small scrap of warmth. A dark form slipped through the greyness overhead, his firm tail and long, broad wings tipped only slightly into the wind as he dipped over the cliff edge, disappearing from view. My eyes held the clearing skyline, waiting for his return, not blinking in case I missed him. My head ached from the effort and my attention slipped to the horizon as the slightest slither of golden light began to break, brief and brilliant, before a curtain of squalling rain far out at sea obscured the wonder. Then he came, silently back from below, rising into the sky without effort and hanging above the scrub of the headland, his dark back and black-tipped wings almost blended with the low sky. Only the flash of white above his tail gave him away as a harrier hoping for breakfast. Uncurling with a dull pain in my hips, I crawled out from beneath the gorse to see a badger leaving the coast path and climbing up through the field towards some undergrowth at the far fence. His short, stubby legs moved quickly through the patchy, tufted grass, caught out by the light, up too late, stirred from his winter slowness, he'd been driven into the cold night by hunger. But now he needed to be back in his set, deep underground, safe, warm, and hidden from view.